The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the speaker's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Georgia State University. The material and information presented here is for general information purposes only. The Georgia State University name and all forms and abbreviations are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement of or opposition to any specific organization, product, or service. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Create Ed podcast. We've missed you. We're happy to be back, heading into the holiday season. Actually, we're in it. How are you all doing? Perhaps you're joining us today. Thank you for telling your friends and families about this podcast. And in today's episode, we're excited because we're dealing and talking about the topic of professional development. What just came to your mind when you heard me say that? What are your expectations for professional development or professional learning classes or sessions? We all have an idea of what they will be. Now, what do you think about when you hear the word liberation? And then the word facilitation? And then thinking about professional learning. You know, what can it look like to be able to bring and be yourself while attending, facilitating, and participating in professional development? Have you ever thought of professional learning in those ways? Let's drop in on four incredible Create Project Connected facilitators as they explore these and more through the Create Project professional learning experiences.
Hi, my name is Ashley Vieira, and I am the coordinator of University District Teacher Leadership at the CREATE Project.
And I'm Rosalind Dupp. I'm the Professional Learning Coordinator at the CREATE Project.
In today's episode, we are going to speak about liberatory facilitation. Typically, when we think about facilitating, we are often talking about leading groups of people around a topic. But facilitation also encompasses any conversation held with others, even if it's just one other person. We design and make space for transformational experiences that allow facilitators and participants to be authentic and speak their truth. We build a container that empowers communities, is healing-centered, and encompasses the belief that everyone has the answer within themselves.
Just as Ashley described the container, we're going to travel back in time in a Sankofic experience to grab knowledge of liberatory facilitation as Ashley and I co-facilitate with two superstar facilitators. We hope you will join us on this journey toward our collective liberation.
Welcome to this episode of Create Online. Whatever this is called. Create Ed. I just want to make y'all laugh. So yes, welcome to this episode of a liberatory experience and insight into the leadership lives of four amazing, brilliant educators who are coming together to just tell you a little bit about what it means to be a rock star. And so I'm here hanging out with the most amazing people that I know. But first, I'll introduce who I am. I'm Rosalind, and I'm a native Kentuckian. I find home in Bell Hooks books, a good sermon, jazz, and soul music. I love living in Atlanta and making a life happen as a creative artist. I'm also a teacher educator and community healer.
I have a mean sweet tooth.
I'm a country girl at heart, and I'm always ready to fight or find a corner to rest, remember, and find reconciliation.
Hey, everyone who's listening. My name is Ashley. I am a warrior for social justice. I am an educator. I've been an administrator, a facilitator, a curriculum designer. And I think in my various roles, I've come to understand a lot about the educational landscape of the United States, specifically urban education. I strive to be a transformational leader. I strive to view education through the lens of criticality, equity, and liberation, both in the classroom and beyond. And I'm really excited to be here today with these wonderful ladies as we talk about what liberatory facilitation means to us.
That was so good. I am happy to be here in this conversation. I am Flossier Griffin. I'm so many things, y'all. First and foremost, I'm the future PhD diva. If I could ever get myself together and get this thing written. But I consider myself a scholar, activist. I am an educator. I am a equity leader. I'm committed to advancing educational equity, policy advocacy, and culturally responsive leadership. Currently, right now, my work focuses on curriculum violence and the impact of systemic inequities in education and the importance of having an inclusive curriculum. I've led racial conversations, professional learning communities, and built coalitions to drive really meaningful change in schools and all types of organizations. I consider myself a skilled storyteller and facilitator, and I try to empower communities and leaders to create sustainable and equity-driven frameworks. Right now, I'm trying to continue my impact through engaging in policy work, growing myself as a consultant, and transforming education systems to serve all of our babies authentically and equitably.
All right, y'all, and I'm Dr. Turko Dabashi. I'm the proud principal of M. Agnes Jones. I'm a passionate educator driven by the transformative words of Tupac Shakur, which states, "I may not change the world, but I promise you I'll spark the brain that will." I seek to ignite change by sparking critical thinking and innovation in my students and in my staff. I'm a former foster youth, reigning from San Francisco, and my journey has taken me from nonprofit space, community organizing, to East Atlanta schools, to now a Southwest Atlanta school by way of Oakland, Berkeley, Jackson, Mississippi, New Orleans, Louisiana, and now here in the West End. I consider myself an abolitionist educator, advocating for cultural responsiveness in classrooms, authenticity, and liberation. I work tirelessly to dismantle systems of inequities and oppression here in schools and in my larger community. And I want to promote academic and personal excellence for all students and staff who I work with. And I had the opportunity of making it through the Equity Facilitation Fellowship through CREATE, in which I learned a lot around how to be a great facilitator with a listening heart and an open mind. I also had an opportunity of working with CREATE through iGroup, as well as critical friendship groups that happened in my school. And they really, really helped me to set a very strong foundation for the equity work that I continue to facilitate in Atlanta Public Schools, where I was nominated and won the Equity Champion Award, as well as our school being nominated for the Equity School in the District. So honored to be here with you, ladies.
Give it up for, like, we're bosses. Like, this is amazing, y'all. And I realized as everyone was sharing their stories and journeys, we are the CREATE OGs, like the facilitation OGs in this space. Because you said iGroup, and I was like, whoo, I remember those days. And just look at how far we've taken this thing.
Mm-hmm. The impact, the ripples of impact that CREATE will go on forever.
Yeah. Speaking of OGs, Talafia, can you take us back to when you first came into this CREATE space?
Ooh. Yes. So I think y'all know I got into education non-traditional. Like, my bachelor's degree is not in education. It's in mass media arts, radio, TV, and film. I thought I was going to be on BET. I was going to be at the Red Carpet Awards interviewing people. Like, I wasn't thinking about education. And I got recruited into education, actually. And one of the first schools that I taught at was a CREATE school. And I started teaching pretty young. So I was like early 20s. Just still learning and figuring out. And then I remember at that time, the executive director for CREATE came and promoting some of the professional learning. And then it was like, they were like, a stipend. I was like, stipend? They going to pay me to go learn? Yeah. So, yeah. Because all the other PDs I was doing, we had the pay to go. we weren't getting paid to be trained. So you had my attention there as a little, you know, broke first year teacher. I'm trying to get me a little stipend. And, you know, from there, my life changed, literally, like being able to meet so many people and learn so much and ask a lot of questions, because I think CREATE really opened my eyes to a lot of issues that I already cared about, but I think I had a hard time figuring out what I could do about it. Like, I knew that these issues were important, and so I took teaching as the first step. I was like, well, I'll just teach. You know, if I can teach, then that's me contributing. And I think CREATE provided a space for me to see myself as a leader, because I didn't really see that at first. Like, I was just going to teach and figure out what was next for me. And I think being in those spaces allowed me to see myself emerge, even as the young age. Like, I was doing it like 23, 24 years old, leading these conversations and people respecting what I had to say or being transformed by things that was just my lived experience and things that I didn't think people really cared about. So, that's going back in time, the time machine. I remember little baby Tilapia just shaking the room.
And Tilapia, you shook that room, because when I felt it, when I first came into the CREATE space, I was a little baby third grade teacher. I didn't know anything about education. And I saw you and you were facilitating a professional learning with CREATE. And I was just like, wow, like, I had never been in a space where people could share so vulnerably and authentically and in a space. And I keep on saying the word space because I want to say, as a facilitator, it's so important to be mindful not only of like how you feel and how others feel in the space, but also like the environment that you're in. And so, like, I remember we were at Indian Creek. It's a retreat center, Georgia State owned, and looking out, there's like some windows looking back out onto like a wooded area, and just thinking to myself, like, what did I get myself into? This feels like the civil rights. This feels like a movement. This feels like something bold. And you were there. And I just remember when I got into this position now as the coordinator, professional learning coordinator with CREATE, I would come and sit in your office when you were working at a school, when I would, you know, ask you questions about facilitation and going to school. So I just really appreciate getting to go in the time machine with you and appreciate you for the work that you've done.
Thank you. About Ashley, Rupo, yep. Y'all, wherever y'all.
Yeah.
Old CREATE days.
Everything that you all have both said has sparked a lot for me as well. I first encountered CREATE when I was working in a CREATE school as well. And it was about my 10th year in education. But it was the first time, like you mentioned, Tilapia, it's the first time that I felt heard and understood. And it also, I think the most important and impactful thing for me was it provided me a space to unlearn all of the things that you learn in a systemically, you know, inequitable and oppressive system. And so it really allowed me to really think about so many things, like the skin I was in, how I was showing up, how I was interacting people, the students I taught, just all of these things that I had really never been given the space, to your point, Roz, the space to unpack and really unlearn. And so, like, from my first, you know, CREATE professional learning, which also came with a stipend, so that was definitely drew me in as well. I just wanted more and more and more. I just kept on signing up, even if it was the same one I had done the year before. I kept on signing up because I knew there were going to be different folks in the room. And we often say the participants are the content, or the, you know, we've said that before. And I think that really rung true for me. And I just kept on signing up for any and everything they had to offer, you know, became what Create called a Create champion, which is like somebody within a school who's like, you know, all about it. And then eventually transitioned into my role at Create, which is recruiting and training and supporting the mentor teachers who assist our residents. So, yeah, definitely life changing from the moment that I, you know, encountered Create and what it was all about.
Fun note, Taruga, you did mention a little bit about the work that you've done before. And I'll just segue that into saying that I've had the honor of working with all three of you all in the capacity of facilitation. When I, looking back, sometimes I have to like catch my breath because I cannot believe that I'm still working at Create. It felt like a unicorn, you know what I mean? Like this space that you can go and talk about those dilemmas, those professional dilemmas, those things that keep you up at night, and then actually have a space to talk to other people and process, and then go back into whatever your workspace looks like, the classroom, or, you know, you might be like Taruko, you might be leading the whole school, you know, and implement some of these strategies. And these strategies are strategies for healing and well-being, as well as being able to articulate what is not taking place that should be taking place to support students and educators and families and communities. So thinking about facilitating and taking us back, we're going to go back in the time machine again and thinking about how we came into Create. And it's almost like for me, I'll start this idea is like I was offered these magic tools in a sense. Like, and they weren't like magic, but like power. Like somebody handed me like power tools. You know, there's a difference between a hammer and then like a drill that you plug in. It's like, one gets the job done quicker. Without you getting exhausted. But the point is this. Create gave me the power tool that I needed, right? And it was through facilitation. And so as we're reflecting, thinking about this idea, not only was it facilitation that was the power, but it was this idea and concept of liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So let's reflect and talk about that power of liberation and combining it with facilitation.
That's a really interesting way to frame it, Roz, because I think about like, I think what really made the difference for me is how much more meaningful the professional learning became because of the facilitation, right? Because I'm sure educators go to professional development all the time, sit in PD sessions all the time, and then it's something, and we always hear this, still to this day, we get the same feedback from participants, is that something feels different about this space. It's like people come into our space, I think, sometimes, especially if they haven't engaged with us before, expecting a certain type of professional development. And then they get to that space and then we rapping, we playing, got a spread of food for us to eat together. We going on nature walk. We napping. Like things that in a typical professional development, you would never see. And it's not that we're doing these things in a frivolous way. Like each of the activities that we have are intentional and are connected to our mission and like supported under this liberatory framework. And I think similar to when we think about like educating students, like once we give them the power and the freedom to explore, who knows what they can create? I feel like we would have been able to cultivate this space because we didn't have restraints. We didn't have like ceilings or like a, you know, a cookie cutter version of this that we were trying to model. We, and I would give a lot of credit to you, Roz, especially when you came into your role and decided we was going to remix this thing and add a little flavor and, you know, seasoning to it. It has become something that's just so transformative. And to be in these spaces and like see the light bulb go out and see like the looks on people's faces as the wheels are turning and they're being free. I think that's what makes the difference for me.
I agree with you, Tilafia. I feel like there is such a difference in the opportunities and the spaces that we've created for people to come and be their most authentic selves, right? I think what I gained from Create was this sense of self-examination, right? And I think through the process of every PD and opportunity I was able to learn from through Create, I learned more about myself and I was freed from the premises that I had about myself as a biracial Black and Japanese woman growing up in Hunters Point, queer, former foster youth. I had all of these ideas about who I was supposed to be and the experiences that I had, and not realizing that even as a Black woman walking in the shoes that I'm in, that I have privilege. And I think the space to explore myself in a non-threatening way to where I could be honest with the people I was around, and had the space to not only share who I was, but who I was becoming and who I was and who I want to be. And then having that as a facilitator created space for me to ask the questions, right? I think that we did a lot of guiding with the questions that we asked that allowed people to open up and be more responsive to themselves. It wasn't a lot of like, what are things that need to be changed in your space or in your location, but what is yours to take on? What can you identify in yourself or in your space? What's a dilemma that's keeping you up at night, right? It was a lot of work of liberating ourselves from this belief that we couldn't fix something. And I think that when we liberated our minds to sort of free ourselves from like, hey, this is the confine of what you have to work in, the parameters of what's acceptable in your school and what you can say in front of folks, we were more willing to be vulnerable with people who had similar experiences as us or who were in similar positions as us. And we heard how other people were handling situations or how other people walked on their journey, and that everybody's timeline is different. And it's okay to be liberated from this timeline of expectations. Oh, you're this age or you're at this job and you should have this knowledge. Something that I learned through Create, through Falami, Mama Falami, she said to me that your job as an equity leader, as a social justice leader, is to not push people away, but to pull them into the work. And I think that that is so liberating to me, because oftentimes we're focusing on who's not in it for the right reasons. How do we get them out of our schools? How do we get them out of our businesses, our communities? And instead, we can't do that. The work is speaking to where they are. The work is creating space for them to be vulnerable and share their perspectives and providing them the support and the loving nature so that they can then feel as if the work that we're doing together can lead them to making better decisions for their students. And I just feel like having those opportunities to really explore myself and to leverage my vision of who I am to help others was just really, really freeing. And I really enjoyed it. And I've been in other equity commitments, equity journeys. I've done other workshops and nothing feels the same. Nothing feels the same. Nothing creates the warmth or the acceptance or the action that I felt like happened in Create. And I think it was very action oriented, because whether you came in fired up about it or you left fired up about it, there were people who were ready to be on the battle lines for the work that we stood for. And you just don't get that everywhere. It wasn't a one-stop shop. It was we're having a community meeting. We're having this coffee. We're having this talk. We're having this come and share your issues. We're having an affinity group. Like, there is always something for us to be a part of. And so people who weren't even trying to facilitate found themselves facilitating things because of their experiences. Because like you said, Ashley, the content are in the people, right? And so people come in with their different experiences and they truly, truly, truly shift how that facilitation works, how that whole PD works. And I think it's important that we aren't bound by a specific time frame or curriculum. Like, we allowed ourselves to really drive the work based on our experiences and what we were going through.
Yeah, I think one thing that's really interesting is, and for our listeners to know too, is that all four of us were originally participants, right? We were participants in the professional learning. And so we know what it feels like to be a participant. And then, you know, we kind of moved slowly over to becoming facilitators. And whether that was, you know, our dream or not is what happened. You know, I really, for one, appreciated the kind of apprenticeship model that I was able to go through with Create, where I could lean on some like serious facilitation gurus who taught us well, right? Who taught us so many things, like how to facilitate across difference, how to be transparent. I think that's one thing that makes our spaces so liberatory is the transparent facilitation. And we often say that to participants. We're like, hey, this isn't what we were going to do, but we're being responsive to you all. We're seeing a need in this space to change something or to add something or to, you know, to rest, whatever it might be. Like, we're being responsive to the people that are in our space. And I think that really allows people to be so many things. Like, it allows us to hold people accountable if something comes up in this space. It allows us to be authentic. So I think, like, to me, that's where such a big part of the liberation comes, or the liberatory facilitation comes into what we do. I think another thing that I didn't realize when we were participants, or at least for myself, when I was a participant, I didn't realize how much went into designing that space.
Girl, it was late nights up planning for the next day.
Right. Take hours and hours and hours to plan for, you know, 30 minutes with folks because you are being that intentional. Obviously, that time kind of, as you get more and more practice, it gets easier like anything. But I remember just sitting there and listening to people debrief, and they would go through every single feedback form, and they would start, we were in there circling stuff and seeing what trends emerge and what do we need to change for the next day. Like, it really was like down to the nitty gritty in terms of planning and being responsive. And I think that, I mean, that's one thing that makes it so different from, you know, your typical professional learning spaces. And I think that that really contributes to why people feel the way they do when they come into Create space.
And I think Ashley, and I'm sure Roz can say more about this, what you're talking about is that it was like, I didn't even realize there was an art to facilitation, right? I'm thinking like, all right, they got an agenda. They have some objectives. We're going to go and do some activities. And that's the end. And then when you get to, we got an opportunity, a unique opportunity to like peek behind the curtains. And you're like, hold on, there's a whole method to this madness. There, oh, you said this because it would impact this way. And the optics of you two being here was going to make these people feel like this. Like, there's a whole science behind what we do and why we do it. And I think that's like that art of facilitation that I had no clue about when I first started this work. And now when I'm in spaces, my brain automatically is putting the pieces together when I'm seeing certain things happening in real time.
I think that is what drew me to the work, because I have a creative mind and I was exposed to programming that was very creative. I went to a youth performing arts school, so I was always trying to look behind, because I'm like, nah, there's something going on back here.
And all these people talking about in the corner.
See the feet moving? And these check readers coming out the staff. I think what drew me into the space, too, was the mentorship, as Ashley spoke to, having Connie and Susan, and thank you to Ruko for bringing up Falami, because this is another thing, honoring those who can come and came before us,
mm-hmm,
is a huge part of this work. And
So mentoring and listening to and receiving feedback from others, critical feedback, and knowing that it's not to tear you down, but it's out of love to build you up, because we all have blinders. And so coming into a space where somebody is going to tell you the truth out of love to build you up, yeah, that's transformational. That does not feel like any other space that most of us as adults get to be in. And so that was the power for me, was that I had somebody looking at my work and saying, no, I think you can do it better. Did you consider this? It's never a, I know what's best, but have you considered this? And it liberated me being a part of the Create Professional Learning, where I met all of you all, and practicing. I think that's another part of the liberatory facilitation, and what makes it so powerful is that you get an opportunity the first time you walk into the Create Professional Learning. They're asking you to read something or pass out something or bring a snack and be a part of this community. You don't have a chance to hide, you know, so you have to practice in community with others and do your work publicly. And so for those listening, and especially those experienced educators who are on their transformative journey, thinking about the importance of practicing and how that practicing with other people can liberate us to places where we never thought that we would be, because being mentored in a Create Professional Learning is what helped to move me out of the classroom and put me in the space where I could look over my shoulder and say, hold on, there's all these other brilliant people doing this work, and I want them to do it. Like, even though I'm in this position, let's do it together, because I can't do it on my own. Because those people who came before me showed me you can't do this on your own. So as we're coming, you know, to a close around this conversation, I want us to get creative. Let's do what we do. Let's do it here. And let's rap about, you know, rapping is just talking, you know, if we start singing and then a little poetry comes out or whatever. But let's get free in the space and let's talk about some of those facilitation moves or whatever come up.
You were reading my mind, Rosalind. I promise you, I was sitting here like, ooh, he's talked about the power. I was like, let's talk about our facilitation superpower. Like, I'm happy to rap about it, but I literally was sitting here like, ooh, because I have one in mind for me and I see different ones for you all, but I was like, I wonder what folks would say is their facilitation superpower.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into liberatory facilitation.
Stay tuned for part two, a bonus episode where we'll dive into facilitation superpowers, what they are and how to unlock them, and why they matter.
Don't miss it.
Wasn't that a great conversation? Did y'all enjoy it? That's a part of the work, the part of facilitation, the part of professional learning that we don't often get to peel behind the curtain and see, right? How facilitators become, how they learn to be, how we can all be facilitators. You know, when Dr. Tabashi said Tupac's line, I may not change the world, but I promise you, I'll spark the brain that will. That really summed this whole conversation up for me. What about for you? How are we the spark? How are you the spark as we facilitate our own understanding of who we are, our own change, but also the ripple effect, right? Here's a couple of quotes from that great conversation that stuck out for me. When Rosalind said, what did I get myself into? This feels like something bold. And she was first entering into Create Professional Learning. Have you had that experience with a professional learning? Wouldn't it be nice if all of our professional learning could spark that for us? And then she said later, you know, to have someone looking at her work and say, have you considered this? To really come alongside of you as you dig into your own practice. That's huge. Ashley said, the first time when she took this professional learning, it was the first time that she felt heard and understood and
and it provided a space to learn and unlearn so much of what she had been taught. Things that she had never been given the space to unpack and unlearn. There are so many assumptions and things that we learn about who we are, about schooling, that we don't even see them. They become transparent, right? How do we find a space to really examine that? That's what this professional learning provides a space for. And this liberatory facilitation approach what they were talking about provides a way to do that. Talafier said, educators go to professional learning all the time. That is so true. But the feedback that we get on the CREATE professional learning is that something feels different. We see it all the time in the surveys. Something feels different. You can be free here. Right? She also said that each of the activities in the professional learning are not frivolous. And I think that's something that, you know, we've all been in professional learnings, right? They are in support of the mission and vision of CREATE and the work. The amount of time, I think Ashley talked about that, that goes into the preparation. We all do that as educators in our community, in our homes, in our schools. Same thing is happening in the professional learning here. And then to Dr. Tabashi, again, she said, I gained from CREATE professional learning this sense of self-examination. Every time I take it, I learn more about myself. Well, if you liked this conversation and this liberatory facilitation approach to professional learning, all of this is part of the CREATE Project's community engagement, continuer education, professional learning opportunities. You want to attend? I know you do. Your interest has been piqued. You want to sign up? Come on. The next session is going to start in January. So go on our website now, sign up. It's a Healing Center Justice course and the CREATE 101 course, which introduces everyone to the approaches to the work here at CREATE and more. It all starts in January 2025, so register now. Registration is open. And that's a wrap for this podcast, for this episode. We want to give a special thanks to our guests, Ashley Vieira, Rosalind Duff, Talafier Griffin, and Taruko Tabashi. We hope this discussion of liberatory facilitation has provided valuable insights into the power of community partnerships and the transformative potential within K-12 education and teacher residencies. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, leave us a review on the way that you get this podcast, Apple, Spotify, however you get this podcast. Your feedback helps us. Thank you for the feedback we've gotten, and please continue. It helps us to bring you more meaningful content and to connect with you. I talked a second ago about registering for professional learning. Stay connected with us, register, find out more about upcoming events on our website, createproject.education.gsu.edu. You can also check there for updates and so much more. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate you. And until next time, let's continue to build strong partnerships, foster thriving educational communities, and transform teacher residencies into places of deep joy. Join us for part two, like Ashley and Rosalind were saying, of this amazing conversation. How's that sound?